Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Alrighty then. Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Chris, hopefully that 30 seconds gave you enough time to get settled because we literally just caught off stage.
Well, oh, not me, but yeah. Just got off stage, literally. Actually, not even really. I mean, the room is finally empty. We finished the podcast. Not the podcast. This is a podcast. We finished the panel. We kept going for an extra hour. It was actually a fantastic topic. It was actually all about the Ukraine-Russia side of the world. Mm-hmm. And partly a conversation around what has happened, what is happening, what's going to happen, and the differences between the physical domain and the cyber domain, and how the digital side of the world is actually affecting that conflict, what it's doing. Actually a fantastic set of conversations, but definitely... I mean this as bad as nice as I can, because I'm in the middle of, I'm actually at, you can see us on the, there we go, Tel Aviv University. I'm sitting in one of the lecture rooms at TAU. But it's a room full of Israelis. Let's just be honest on this one. And y'all don't shut up.
Well, we have a lot to say because of years of oppression. So.
I love being over here. I have so much. I'm putting sunscreen on. We'll talk about that in a second. I have so much freaking love for being in this neck of the woods. And if any of you don't, then it is what it is. I love it. Just it's because of the people.
Yeah.
Just the ability to have a conversation and questions, and not an argument, but just a debate back and mm-hmm. forth and back. And it just fucking love it. For somebody who's like on stage. And who enjoys conversations. I mean, I'm like in heaven. It drives me bananas as well sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I'm in freaking heaven. I love this place. And this is family. I mean, there are so many people here that I know, and I get to hang out with, and I get to talk with, and I get to meet, and I get to hug, and I get to share whiskeys with and bourbons with, because I obviously bring some of that stuff with me. Mm-hmm. But it's just... coming out here every year is an absolute treat. It's an honor and a pleasure. And I was on stage earlier and now I'm on stage again.
Now you are, for those who don't know, you are at Cyber Week right now.
Yeah.
There's a show, an expo going on called Cyber Week. Tell me a little bit about that. I don't know if a lot of folks actually head over there. Our actual cohort.
I mean, you get some, but not a huge. You get delegates or delegations, I should say, that come over here. And then mm-hmm. to add extra one onto Cyber Week, tomorrow is B-Sides Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
So that's Cyber amazing. Week is still running. I'm actually doing a talk at the transportation part of it tomorrow about artificial intelligence and what we're doing and what we're building.
Ooh.
But then I'm also going to run over to B-Sides, and we'll probably get through most of the rest of the alcohol that we haven't gotten through already in this last couple of days.
Got you.
Yeah, best way of putting it is, it's we all know about the security conferences. You get the Black Hats, the RSAs, the DEF CONs, a lot of the regional stuff that goes on as well, the GERCONs for crying out loud of the world, and Circle City CONs and everything else. It's an Israeli version of that, for want of a better way of putting it. Mm-hmm. You have, and it's almost like a village. It's actually fantastic because... It takes the concept of having the main conference, Tel Aviv University, Blavatnik Studies, mm-hmm. sponsor the main thing. But you also have villages. Like the first day here was like Fraud Con, when a whole bunch of people who fight fraud online got to meet. There's an AI one. There's a startup set of villages for a day or two. There's this one, which was all legal stuff and everything else. And then tomorrow's transportation. So what I love about it is everybody comes in, not just for one conference, but for like an entire set of villages of things that go on during the same. We can obviously close it out tomorrow with B-Sides. So it's really nice. You get to come in once and experience mm-hmm. half a dozen or a dozen different topics, which is, given the challenges sometimes of getting in and out of the bloody country, it's nice to only have to do it maybe once or twice a year as opposed to like every couple of months.
Yeah. 100%. And it's a great opportunity for those who can't, in Israel, who can't make it out to the black hats, the RSAs, even the B-sides, stateside. So I love it. I love Cyber Week. Bummed I couldn't be there. Glad that you're there, you know, supporting the cause over there.
Yeah.
Do you see any kind of, do you see any kind of like cultural shift in communication? Obviously, we kicked it off saying that we can't shut up, us Israelis, which is great. But from like let's switch it from like the vendor side, right? There are a lot of startups in Israel. There are a lot of cybersecurity startups in Israel. You've been hounded probably from all sorts of vendors all over the world. Do you see any kind of shift in communication style or tactics when it comes to startups coming from Israel versus the United States or even Europe?
It's tough because so often the startups that are Israelis will bring Americans on to have communications with the American people. So you end up with the same, that same kind of like bland, same doism that everybody else says, which is, hi, I want 5 minutes or 50 minutes of your time. I'm over here and it's an entirely different set of conversations. It's much more direct. I would argue that there's a lot more meaningful conversation about getting to know the human being.
Actually,
definitely so. And I think that, you know, that's not everybody, not by a long stretch. I mean, I got approached today. Somebody hit me up today. Unless you're going to sit back in the chair for a minute. Somebody hit me up today, came up, and the first thing he did was hand me the business card. And I'm like, okay, who are you? You know, and he's like, so-and-so from so-and-so company. I'm like, I didn't ask the company. I said, who are you? And we talked for a minute, and then he started to try to tell me about the products. I'm like, hey, stop. We haven't, you know, this isn't how I work. Let me explain to you. And I actually talked, I referenced this.
Yeah.
So I saw that approach, and I don't know if it was because it was like, oh, he's not from around here, therefore this is how to approach him. It was like, oh, you know, he's, you know, European American, we'll approach him this way. So I don't know if it was because of that or if it's just that that's the way to approach has changed. But I've seen the more let's break bread conversations over here, which I prefer so much far and away. You know, if you're coming, again, it's that mentality. If you're coming into my company, you don't get to come in until I figure out who the heck you and the people around you are as humans.
That's interesting. I think that cultural shift is interesting. We are more direct. You know, I have some opinions. I'm going to save them for a later date. But I do want to get into what you've kind of seen interesting at Cyber Week this week that you haven't seen last year. You were there last year. We brought you out, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was here last year. I mean, it's pretty much an annual pilgrimage, for a better way. That's up, which is ironic considering it's, you know, where it is afterwards. I actually want to answer this question. Do I feel the same for all of EMEA? I would actually say yes, very much so. Scroll moment for a second. You know what I saw this year at Cyber Week? Delegation of folks from Dubai and Saudi.
Nice.
I was so bloody, I was blown away. I was happy, and it was just, and I got pictures with them the whole lot. It's all over the internet already. you want to talk about starting to break down barriers. It's so freaking nice to see. It's so nice to see the use and the focus on technology being used to break barriers down as opposed to, unfortunately, build them up, which is what tends to happen a lot of times. I don't know if that's the best analogy to use, but it's kind of how I felt. And it was so nice to see a delegation. I mean, it's a decent size, like 12 or 15 of them. Here with sponsors from Cyber Week and from Israel, collaborating, working together, talking together. That was so nice to see. It's, you know, this whole region is amazing. I don't care where you're from. I don't care which part of this neck of the woods you're from. I love the fact that the spirit and the human side of it and the innovation and everything else is just, whoa, that's a big ass fly.
We've got some big flies. It's the hummus over there.
Yeah, it's some biggest. So yeah, I do feel it. I mean, when I was out in Dubai and when I was actually out in Saudi as well, it was a very, very similar feeling of a much more human, collaborative to some degree, much more human, very much more like, hey, I want to actually know who you are.
Yeah.
And I want to know the human part of you, the family part of you. Yeah. I want to understand that. And then, you know, we'll talk business, obviously, but let's do that. And I appreciate that.
That's what I love about Israeli startups too, because they're like, there's a word in Hebrew called tachlis. It's like to the point, like let's just do it super direct. Let's get shit done. Right. Yeah. That's why I've always thrived in working with Israeli startups, is because we get down and dirty on and do some hard work, very hardworking folks. And that bluntness, I think, is what's needed in this industry. You know, when we look back at the 21 episodes, actually, we've done more than 21 episodes because we've analyzed over 200 emails at some point.
That's crazy.
And the kind of the trend here is what, like, just be direct, honest, transparent about what you do, who you are, and why you're doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's I mean, it shows in the culture. It's weird. I mean, again, having not been over here for a year, and having especially spending a couple of days in the UK. I went from the US to Canada, Canada to the UK, now here. So you get the UK, which is very much, I do apologize, I'm very civilized. Over to here, which is just like this freaking both physical and verbal steam train straight through the middle of a crowd. I couldn't ask for two completely separate types of cultures to go from one to the other. It was kind of like getting in a cold shower. It's that moment of like, whoa, oh yeah, now I remember where I am.
Got it. So for those of you who don't know, George, comedian, and I launched the buzzword, we call it the messaging analysis and buyer report on events. Okay. Buzzword bingo. Basically, we analyze the whole RSA floor, actually 52% to be exact. We couldn't get all of it. We thought we did, but that was so massive. I want to know if you saw in your eyes any buzzwords over at Cyber Week in Israel this week.
There were a couple, definitely a couple, not as many. Definitely, I mean, it was not, good grief alive, it was not as many as I have seen, as I saw when I was walking around RSA, definitely not. There are a couple, and the irony of the whole thing is one of them was, actually two of them were from companies that I've beaten up a number of times in the US, CrowdStrike being one of them, obviously, who absolutely apparently can protect you against everything and anything under the...
Are they still running with that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that's a year long. It's almost a year long campaign. Holy moly!
I know, they're getting the money's worth out of that rubbish. I tell you, maybe because it's not working. Well, maybe God, I hope it's not working. It is what it is, I guess. So yeah, there's that one, and then there was another one that was able apparently to protect me against unknowns. So yeah, and I'm like, and it wasn't really a buzzword thing. It was more just I was a little frustrated with the messaging. You know, and it's now you get into the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns, and I'm like, you know, again, unless you know the questions to ask. We had a long, we've had an entire course on artificial intelligence here, which has been absolutely fantastic. Very, very good set of conversations on artificial intelligence.
There we go. Just popped in the report for anybody wants to look. What were some of the buzzwords that you saw?
Protect was definitely in there. There are a lot of acronyms. We're still in the acronym world. There are still a lot of acronyms. It's still too many acronyms. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I've been drinking moonshine for a bunch of today. It's 6 o'clock in the evening here. I might've had a glass or two or three or four of moonshine, a couple of whiskeys.
At my cup.
I actually don't want. I'm not sure I want to know what my glucose monitor is doing in the moment. It's probably
so. Can we have a sidetrack now? Can I say that who you took a picture? I think with Orr. Who was it from Blast Security?
BLST.
You look dapper, my friend.
Yes.
You got to get jackets on.
I have my jackets on. Well, I wasn't on stage yesterday, but I was, it was like first official. Oh, I know what it was. I was on the bloody news.
Oh.
So the reason that this head looks like a freaking fried egg meets something has got nothing to do with the fact that I'm annoyed or angry or any wrong thing along those lines. It's simply the fact that they recorded a whole bunch of stuff for Channel 11 News yesterday out of the airport. So we were at one of the regional airports yesterday.
Nice.
And we had a fantastic, we were a couple of hours there, then we got the reporters and stuff to come back with us to Cyber Week. and then spent some time walking around and having good intros. But it was all about aviation and all about security in general. Beautiful. And Israel and a whole bunch of other stuff. Yeah, absolutely. But there's a picture with me, like, we are literally on the pans in chairs. So this, you know, Mad Dog's an Englishman deep frying in the midday sun. Go figure.
I mean, you look fabulous. We're going to have to update our cover image, because
I'll see how everything goes.
I and expanded
I you, as well. It's meant to be orange. It's meant to be orange, but it went wrong, so now it's black.
No, you're looking fabulous. Looking good. Health is good.
It's getting there. We'll see how it goes. It's getting there.
All right. Yeah. So FYI, folks, Chris and I haven't caught up in quite a while. It's been 2 weeks since we were at the last panel in Anaheim.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, that's true. We haven't had a chance. Yeah, I bounced around everywhere. Yeah, no, I'm Monas is still working. It's still giving me grief. I'm still learning about a bunch of things. I'm not eating as well as I should do over here. I'm not eating badly. I'm just not eating enough. I know, considering the plethora of food.
Yeah.
Cyber Week, I think there is an entire island of coffee baristas in the middle of the conference. And I mean, I'm talking an island. The island is bigger than several booths put together, and it's always packed there. It's fantastic, and the food's great. But again, I can't eat most of the food because it's either breads, pastries, or things like that. So I'm going to be really sort of careful.
Can I say to the folks listening and to you, Chris, the hardest part of relocation from Israel to the United States for me is the food and the coffee and the coffee. I went to the OC Kosher Market and I bought a year's worth of Turkish coffee from Israel, the elite version with the cardamom, because I could not find it anywhere here. I bought a year's worth of tahini sauce.
Do you need me to bring you any? Yeah, the tahini sauce in the US leaves a lot to be desired.
Oh my gosh. And like, you know, the regular, like the alaish, the barbecue and all the, you know, I'm just going to have to go visit for food and family, obviously.
You are going to have to, And then you got to figure out how to get it back through the system or.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But, and I was talking to a couple of folks about it. It was actually interesting. We were talking about Amazon Prime as an example. Mm-hmm. In the US, we take it for granted. Over here, no such thing. You know, best you get Alibaba that turns up 3 or 4 weeks late. And I didn't even give it a thought on that one. It's a very, you know, it's... We all like to bash the countries that we are in until we go to a different one and then take a step back and go, huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like some of my creature comforts, my home comforts and all that stuff.
100%. So before we dig into the inbox, another squirrel moment. It's just hilarious because when we landed here, we discovered Amazon Prime, and Tal, my wife, is just like, this is the best thing ever. And like, and unfortunately, I connected my credit card and my account to her phone, and I'm working and I see ping, 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 ping. I'm just like, oh shit. Okay, I got to turn it off, disconnect. So basically, we emptied our like first month account for Relo, like the cushion on Amazon.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but good stuff. Because 3 weeks it takes to, you know, ship things over in Israel, and then it comes and you're just like, oh, I ordered that. Anyway, squirrel moment. Love it here. Love Israel. So happy you're over there. Hopefully next year we could do something live in Israel.
Actually, that would be totally fun. I mean, it's funny. I ran into a couple, obviously BLST people, and a couple of other folks. I ran into an amazing. Amazing lady last night who is doing some stuff with you and on the marketing side. It was absolutely fantastic, bloody conversations. It's nice when they happen and they happen well.
Oh, you got to tell me.
I will do if I can remember her name. Yeah. Senior, like absolutely fantastic. Like senior relationship, marketing, doing things the right way. Gosh, what's her company name? It's one of those. Yeah, I'll remember it. I'll squirrel and I'll probably try and remember it.
Cool beats. All right. Yeah. A lot of good people over there.
There are. There actually really, really are.
All right. Let's see.
All right.
Diana? Maybe Diana?
Where's she from?
Well, she is at a French company now. I don't know if she reload, but
What's the company called? Is it It's French? Like a single word, and it's a single word. It's like envy, from envy or something.
Oh,
like that.
Billy.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Billy, yeah, Billy. Billy's great.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely envy. Fantastic yeah. conversation. Yeah, there we go. I knew I'd figure it out in the end.
Yeah, Billy is awesome over at Marketing Envy, or now they're Envy, agency in Israel.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we digging in today? We have anything special, juicy, crappy?
Truthfully, not a huge amount. I mean, it's the same shit.
It's people are busy with end of quarter analysis.
Yeah, and it's the same shit. I mean, it's apart from getting video messages, I'm actually getting more video messages. We're back to the. I don't think we ever covered these.
The video messages?
Oh, yeah.
No, we didn't.
I don't think we ever covered these. A couple of years ago, I started getting a spate, and I've now gotten a couple more of them again that hit the spam message box. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a phase that folks went through, which is like, hey, I was, it was the COVID messages. It was, hey, I was at home and I was working with my family and my daughter and I were talking about you and she wrote this special card for you. And literally a card gets held up with some information on it or something like that. And it sucked. Let's just put it that way. It wasn't prep.
I find those kind of creepy, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I got another one. So I got a video from somebody that went into more depth and it was kind of creepy because it was made in his bedroom.
I'd love to see if there's a kind of like an analysis of, do those video messages work? I mean, obviously a few products were created to support that style so that it might work, but I don't know so much for maybe our industry or particular, you know, personas.
Yeah. And I think that's, again, it's one of those, it's know your audience, know your target thing. It's,
yeah.
Because I mean, from my standpoint, I look at it, that creepy thing comes up. There's a guilt factor that is also played on. And again, I hate it because that's, you know, as a putting my adversary hat on and my social engineer hat, that is one of those core things I will use to, be very honest, to abuse somebody to get what I need from them as part of an engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll use that whole empathetic kind of, oh, woe is me, or this is what I need, or my kid needs you, or my kid and I were talking about you. There's a level of empatheticness, the empathy that goes there, and you know, I then become familiar with you and off we go from that. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's used in sales tactics. To me, it's, and now you're basically using your kid to manipulate somebody else, which is, you know, there's laws against that in certain places. Mm-hmm. No, I think there's a couple of things. I've had a couple of inbox invites. One of them is, you know, win a free iPad. There's been free tickets to games. There's been a couple of other things. The freebie thing seems to be, and to your point, I'm not sure if it's end of quarters or what the heck it is, but there's, you know, win this and could you do this and could you play this and could you do this and there's free this, which is really frustrating considering I just put out a bloody... you know, I put that post out not long ago, which is like, quit this shit. You know, the best I want out of you is a cup of coffee.
And those are through email.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm wondering, if I'm not connected to you on LinkedIn, can I see all those posts that you're putting out? I think you can.
I think so. I've got mine because you can set your post to be private. No, comments. It might just be comments.
Oh, yeah.
I think public, private. No, I think you can see posts because I've seen posts. Oh, I see. That's a good question. I think I see posts if a friend who is first connected like reposts a second connection or a third connection.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can directly see a second or third connection post. I think it has to be... somebody in my network or known by me has to point it out.
We should look for a way to make it more accessible, right? Yeah. At least the top line message that you're trying to.
I think Becky came up with a good point. What about using dogs though, or a dog? Oh, that's a tough one. I think it depends on what it is. If it's that creepy video, like my dog and I were talking and he's waving at you. No, quit that shit. That is still dog abuse. if it is, here's a cute picture of my dog. I don't know. That's, I don't need cute pictures of animals to be sold something. Once we have done a deal, once I have learned it, and this goes back to it as well. I think maybe there is a good way. Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's a good way of doing it. I think there's a way of doing it, which again is... Yeah, I think it's caught in my intent. And that's it. I think there's a good way of doing it without appearing to be creepy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's there is a proper way of doing it.
Yeah. If you're leading in with a little bit of context, some humor. I mean, you could tell when there's authentic humor. I don't know if I'm making sense right now.
Oh, no, you are. You're right. Authentic humor is a huge thing. And canned humor, especially if it's cut and paste humor.
Yeah.
You know, if it's cut and paste humor or canned humor, then I have a huge problem with it. I think Becky's right. If you've made it personal, if it's not a complete cut and paste, and you can't always tell, let's be honest, but I think it's definitely one of those where there's times it works, but you've got to pick that time well.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the same thing. It's like, I won't use Milo or any of the dogs on a post all the time. I'll use them very, very carefully. It's a judicious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a way of looking at it. If you're made to feel it's like a judicious thing, not like a cut and paste thing. There are a huge amount of conversations speaking about judicious and messaging and stuff like that. There are a huge amount of conversations about ChatGPT, the current version, the future version.
I was just going to ask if you were talking about AI.
Yeah.
Earlier on, please divulge. Tell me more.
Oh my gosh. So somebody hit me up with something. They were like, the cut and phrase version of what they said was, I've been taking posts off of the internet, running them through basically a personalization AI. So this gets worse. He's basically been running them through a personalization AI and then reposting them as his. I'm like, that's called plagiarism. He's like, no, not at all. No, I just take the thesis of the idea. And I'm like, that's called plagiarism. No. All I'm doing, I'm like, just go with me on this one. It's called plagiarism, no matter which way you look at it. So there's this new, I say new, it's new to me. To me, there is apparently a new version of artificial intelligence, which is personalized. So it learns you. It learns how you type, how you talk. It learns the words you use, the phrases you use. It learns your punctuation, your style, your uppercase, your lowercase, the ways you answer. And the whole idea is it can take over for you. It can literally almost be like a personal assistant.
Really?
Slash, it will answer your text messages for you. It will answer messages. I'm like, oh, that's getting a little too close to home.
Yeah.
I only got launched in the last couple of days. I haven't checked the internet on it, but somebody was talking about it. And they were like, yeah, I've been running all my stuff through. I'm like, who's running it? Where are you handing your data? Who's actually running it?
That's not...
Cassandra actually brought up an interesting point. So you put in the infographic, it won't come through because I have my email set to block any images unless I allow them. And actually, we do a lot of that stuff on our server. So what's going to happen is I will get an email from you and it will have it stripped out and it will say, this contains images, and I won't load the images. So unfortunately or fortunately, yeah, there we go. Remote content was loaded through your current VPN, contains images. Would you like to use images? And the answer is no, I do not want to load images because I don't want to know what they are. I don't know if there's a payload on them. I have no fucking clue.
What other examples of injecting humor in an intro email work for you?
You got to be really careful.
Yeah.
Because I've had people come up to me and try to use English, Wombles or Haggis or bloody hell or damn it or sod it or, I've had people try to use English humor when they don't fully understand the context. That's kind of insulting. Good example. So today I was on the main plenary. So I was on the main stage at Cyber Week, and I was asking a couple of folks about some of the slides that I had and should I use them or not. And one of them was a pretty close to the heart and the head slide. And the response back I got was, no, you shouldn't use that, because in the same way that somebody tries to use certain things against you, I'm like, okay, now you've put in context, that makes perfect sense. And the context they actually used was like, look, I'm Jewish, I can make Holocaust jokes. I'm like, their family was there. They're like, if there's anybody on this planet that is allowed to actually say one of these, it's us. I'm like, don't agree, don't disagree. But yes, by context, you are probably more allowed to than anybody else on this fucking planet. They were like, so it's like somebody coming up to you and trying to tell you something about this. I'm like, okay, I get it. It makes no sense, but I get it. And so I think that's another one of those. It was one of those, yeah, there we go. An American calls us mate, it feels wrong. Perfect way of looking at it. You know, it's, or when I get duded, that's another one. Please don't ever dude me. I'm not a dude.
Oh, yeah. Man, sorry.
No, oh, it's okay. You, I take it from you. There are people, it's again. It's
no, I don't think I've ever called you dude.
I don't think you do, but it's one of those things, again, it's, you know, that's a level of informality that, and I think they were making that particular, when we talk about, you know, we talk about that time during World War II, I think they were like, hey, I can make it within family or within friends or whatever. Yeah, it's dark humor, absolutely. But I think it's, you have to have the rite of passage to be able to do that, shall we mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't have, especially when it comes to that dark humor, you'll offend everybody, and rightly so. But I think when you try to use it, you know, in a sales tactic or something else like that, it just doesn't sit right, not in any way, shape, or form. So,
yeah, 100%. So yeah. There's another question here. I'm trying to understand the context from Brian. It's not here in the restream, but I see it on LinkedIn. Hmm. Connected to a lot of salespeople who want to sell stuff to me. It has changed his LinkedIn feed. So he sees lots of sales influencers who would disagree with the list above. I don't know which list above he's referring to. Maybe some of the tactics that we're talking about.
Oh, probably one. Yeah, because you've made some really good lists out of things that shouldn't be used.
Right. I really enjoy this work, but sometimes it's directing some. But someone is directing these SDRs, BDRs, AEs to run this way.
Yep.
I'm curious if you've ever gotten pushback or open disagreement from folks about running the way that we don't like versus what should be the alternative.
Yes.
He said, for example,
I had it the other week. Mm-hmm. I had somebody the other week hit me up. Do you remember? It was probably the last time we talked. Do you remember? I think I said to you, I've probably got the thread somewhere on my messages. And it was somebody that hit me up and I said, hey, you know what? I don't want opt-in, I want opt-out. And I got a message back, was like, well, I send 5,000 of these a week out, I get 10 messages back, basically fuck you, because that's good enough for me. And that was literally,
that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Something like that.
I think it was, it was. And yeah, paraphrasing a little bit, but not by very much.
Yeah, and it was context, yeah.
Yeah, and it was literally that. And it works. As far as I'm concerned, it works. Yep. I get 10 responses or it was like some percentage, but it was a ridiculous single digits kind of thing. And I'm like, so you're happy. And I think I responded back saying, and you're happy to piss off the other, you know, the other 99.1%. I'm like, that's an asshole move. Never heard from him again.
So Brian continues and said he's seen people call out a salesperson for calling personal cell phones and doing the double tap calling right back.
Oh yeah. That's not pretty, unfortunately.
Actually, when we were at when we were literally smack dab in the middle of the panel 2 weeks ago, I got pinged on WTF from a CISO. It was like, dude, this guy just called me on my personal cell phone at 7 p.m. while I'm having dinner with my family and did the double tap.
Well, again, so okay, I think what's the law in the U.S.? It's sales and marketers are allowed to call. I want to say it's like up until 9 p.m. Somebody who's over there at the moment has got good internet should probably, if they can check it, I think I'm pretty sure the law is like 9 p.m. 8 or 9 p.m. I want to say they're allowed by law to call up to that point in time.
There's allowed, and then there's like
etiquette, right? I preaching to the choir on this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't even answer my phone call, my phone. I think I talked about this, I think, 15 episodes ago. I'm not a CISO, but I'm a CEO, and I get a shitload of calls now from vendors, especially lead gen, like cold calling services, all that kind of stuff. That makes sense. If it's not my wife or my daughter's school, I do not answer my phone at all. It's always on silent. Text message is the way to go.
So Becky just put an interesting thing in there. Calls, sales get an immensely high connection rate, especially in remote life. That sucks because I'm like you. If I don't recognize the number, you're just not getting an answer. And if it goes to voicemail and you don't leave one, well, the chances are I'm probably going to put it in the spam folder. I've got robocaller. I deliberately have robocaller on here because I will not answer. I wanted to figure out if it's a marketing or a spam call or, and my voicemail now says, hey, you're a robocaller. You know, you better be legit or otherwise don't bother. Yeah. And to me, an inbound sales call is not legit. Sorry, but not sorry.
All right. We went through a bunch of tactics. No particular email example today, but we are opening the floor. If anybody wants to pop on to ask questions, we'd love to have you on the show.
I think it's no direct ones, but again, it's another one of these red flag ones. I would highly appreciate it if you could spare 15 to 20 minutes on your calendar next week so we could brief you through our offerings and capabilities in details and also understand your initiatives going forward. Mm-hmm. You got to know your audience. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, as a CISO, 15 to 20 minutes on my calendar next week isn't going to happen in a month of Sundays, quite literally. Mm-hmm. Secondly, knowing some of the organization would be useful up front. Again, I got hit up on LinkedIn. Somebody hit me up on LinkedIn going, hey, I'd love to understand about you and your projects. I'm like, motherfucker, read my profile and you'll understand about me. And I don't know, go to Boom Supersonic's website and you'll understand about the company.
Yeah.
Now come back with something intelligent and maybe we could have a conversation.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there we go. This parallel dialing stuff. That's the other thing. Okay. Yeah. Ha. All right. Assholes out there. God damn it. Yeah, you want to talk about shitty ass tactics. I'm sorry. I'm getting on my soapbox on this one. Once upon a time, I emphasize the word once upon a time. Once upon a time, a local telephone number would typically get answered because it was your neighbor or somebody close to you, or if you lived close to family, it was a family person, or it was, you know, the bank calling you back, or it was something like this. Then the scammers took notice of the fact that we as humans answer our local telephone number. And they started figuring out how to do local phone calls. So you would get a very eloquent individual from, let's say, a foreign country who would call you on a local telephone number. And thus we answered our telephone for a period of time. What then happened is, I want to use legitimate in open air quotes, legitimate companies cottoned onto this shitty ass, must ass about backwards motherfucker fucking tactic, and have all subscribed into the, hey, I'm from CloudStrike, I'm going to use a local telephone number to make it appear I'm local and make you answer the phone. I hate that practice. I have abject, absolute hatred to the fact that your company has decided it's going to lie right off the bat. You are going to lie to me to try to get my attention. You're going to lie by not using a legitimate telephone number. You're going to use a local, like in my case, a 303 or a 720 number. You're going to pretend on the very first conversation that we have that you're local. You want to talk about an asshole move? I don't care if you call from an Israeli number, go for it. Well, then maybe find a US office, but do not call from a local number to mine because you're lying to me. You're an Israeli company, call from an Israeli number or hit me up on something different than a telephone. Maybe use something different, but don't lie to me.
Yeah, not a good way to start a relationship.
No. You really think I'm going to let you into my company? if you can't even be honest and have integrity with me from the very, very first conversation that we have?
Have you gotten a phone call, picked up by accident or not, and been actually impressed and said, oh, okay, well, maybe I will take, like, a cold call, maybe I will take this further, maybe not for a product demo, but just kind of establishing an initial relationship?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. However, I can't also say no.
Yeah.
So if it has been, and Becky, no. Sorry, let me finish my thought more about this one. I can't think of one that I can quote where I've gone, wow, that was an interesting, because first and foremost, you're interrupting me. You might be interrupting me at a time that I can actually pay attention. There's a possibility, but the probability is low on that one, let's be very honest. Secondly, you're also interrupting me and my train of thought and whatever I am doing. And if it's during the day, the chances are I'm doing something. Thirdly, you're taking time away from what I should be concentrating on. And fourthly, it's not at a predetermined time that I set aside, which for me is all my Friday afternoons are set aside for doing vendor stuff. So I can't think of one. I think there probably has been maybe one, possibly two, but that's two hands in the last 10 years, shall we say. That's kind of where my head is at.
And, you know, John mentioned he blacklists vendors for this. We've heard it from other security practitioners. They blacklist vendors for this. Okay, yet this is... Yeah, minutes. You're good.
Yeah, no, you're fine. I just told him he can bloody well wait 10 minutes.
So we see that this tactic doesn't work, yet vendors... sales teams are investing in new tools to amplify the amount of calls that are going out. This is a KPI. Yeah. I mean, what the hell is going on? I'm trying to figure out, you know, and I spoke to CRO two days ago and we talked about this. Just, yeah, these things don't work. So I asked her, so what do we do to kind of tell the stakeholders who are kind of making us invest in these kind of things that this isn't working, we should do something differently. Like, what's the alternative, folks? I'm asking the audience now, how do we go against the grain? And I'm saying go against the grain because this shit doesn't work. What right. do we say to our superiors? We come with numbers. I mean, how do we fix this problem, right? I mean, I'm not saying that we should do this overnight, but let's figure out this alternative approach for folks who are trying to be more efficient in the way they're doing things, right?
I think that's it. I mean, there's, I mean, for me, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one because I mean, if it's a local number at this point in time, I spend most of my time feeling suspicious. Yeah. So I'm missing legitimate phone calls because of this shit. So that's doubling my anger base. If it's remote and I recognize the area code, I might or might not grab it. Now, again, here's the challenge. If you're calling me during the day, the chances are I'm busy. You know, phone conversations, and I get where Becky's going with it, they're getting better hit rate. Well, I think that's because we're accidentally picking it up because we don't actually want to miss a call. Email is easier. Email, I can scan an email and decide whether I'm going to deal with it or not. But the telephone, I can't easily pre-screen a telephone. Now, I know that maybe Google's got it. Hey, if you call a Google number, are you local, are you remote, state your business? There's that stuff. And maybe that's a good way of doing it. But I mean, there's going to be robocall capabilities that get past that. And I think the phone is a tough one because you basically ambush somebody. Whereas at least with an email, a text message, anything else, a LinkedIn message, I at least have the time to deal with it in my time. And deal with it might be it goes in the rubbish. Accept that shit. Deal with it might be I get back to you. You hopefully that's an acceptable solution. But when you ambush me on a phone call, the chances are I'm busy. It might have answered it because I'm waiting for an inbound phone call. It might have been because I'm actually trying to do something and you just interrupted it. I mean, I've picked up calls before that I thought it was the number I wanted and it's a fucking sales call. And I'm like, you asshole, you're now getting in the way of me waiting for a call coming in from the doctor or the hospital or from the car mechanic. Get the hell out of the way. So again, back to that local number shit. I mean, you're actually now getting in the way of me being able to run life.
Yeah, 100%. Great question here from Kate. And we preach this on every single episode. Do your research, find out who the people are. But let's kind of, again, recap our philosophy here, right? Do you suggest vendors do their research, find out who your trusted partners are, talk to them first, and have them engage if they know of a project?
I mean, if they've got familiarity with the trusted vendors or trusted partners, absolutely. I mean, that's why I love what Victoria was trying to build with Kalidi. I mean, that was my trusted partner. Now, my trusted partner at the moment, I have, obviously, Maria is definitely in that sort of one hand or less group. So, you know, you all might want to have a conversation there. But, I mean, she has a limited amount of stuff. And quite honestly, I don't need her being my gatekeeper because that's not her job.
Right.
I don't have a vendor that I prefer to use. There are two vendors that we do currently use, and I kind of half like one, and I don't like the other one that much.
Right.
And so I'm looking at basically putting somebody in place that can act as a more efficient shield for me.
Yeah.
I don't have that. And to some degree, I'm very wary about it because they still have their own agendas. So there's that you got to be careful. And Kalidi was about the closest I came to a very independent, agnostic kind of one. I know exactly, James. I mean, so do your due diligence. No two ways about it. Or, I mean, if you want to hit me up on a channel where I can respond my way and go, hey, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of what we do. Keep it short, keep it simple, keep it concise. If there is anything that we can help with you and there in the future, let us know. That might work. That might fall on deaf ears. It's a tough one. There is no easy one on this one. There's no way of knowing whether I'm in the middle of a data project or if I'm in the middle of something else. I guess part of it is you tell them and say, hey, I'm a CISO at Boom. I've been there a year and change. The chances are I'm working on maturity. The chances are I'm working on data discovery. The chances are I'm working on two or three other things, identity management. If you fall into one of these, yeah, you can probably shoot a message and say, hey, look, I understand you've been here. You might be working on this. If there's anything we can help with, let us know.
I'm triggered now. Sorry, because Michael just said something that really triggered me because I felt I was in that spot. This is the challenge. Most of the people doing this cold outreach are subject to KPI targets that are tantamount to activity metrics. Get that. I still want to figure out how do we go against that grain. Second, they also don't have the freedom to do appropriate research. I am calling bullshit on that.
Bullshit. Yeah.
I'm calling a massive bullshit on that. That is just, there are two problems. One, I think it's lack of knowledge of how to do appropriate research, which is why we exist here in WTF and also Audience First. Because I was in
fucking LinkedIn for what?
Yeah. I was in that spot. I didn't know how to do appropriate research. Second, the perception that I don't have the freedom to do appropriate research, I think is the right way to say it because, oh, I have to do these things. And, you know, my boss is telling me to do that. There's no budget for research. You know, it's not in my lane.
You don't need budget to go out there and Google Chris Roberts.
Yes. You don't need budget. You don't need permission to do customer research. Hands down. I think this is going to be the title of this episode.
I mean,
which is why I created these two podcasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't. I think that's a crutch for folks and a disservice for folks.
I think it's a big one. I think it's, bad SDR managers make us all look bad. Agreed. But again, I think the other part of it is as well is, as a CISO, I have a list of things that are my job. But that doesn't mean that's where I stop. It doesn't mean I come in at 8 or 9 in the morning or I start at 7, 8, 9 in the morning and I finish at 6 and say, fuck you all, I'm not doing anything else. My research is my nighttime. My research keeps me better at my job, helps me progress. And guess what? That's on my own time. You want to succeed at sales? I hate to say it, you better take some of your own fucking time and figure out the best and more effective way of doing it. And the more effective way to do it is not to sit there and blind spam people. It is maybe go, hey, I'm going to send a message to 100 people on LinkedIn. Each one of those is going to take me 2 minutes. Great. 200 minutes, 3 to 4 hours. I'm going to take an extra minute or two to read every single person's baseline profile. That's all you got to do. And you realize maybe of those 100 people, you only send it to 50. Now you find another 50. Or you find the more efficient way to message that person individually.
All right. There are good comments here. I need to process these comments, and I'm going to definitely answer these comments offline because there are resources to do good research, especially if you have to make 100 plus dials a day, which I think is crazy stupid in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Who said it? Becky said quality over quantity. I get you have to hit those numbers. We are headed towards the end of the session. I do want to give, we touched a really good topic that we might have to talk about next week.
Because we're getting close on time. I think, yeah, and I'm probably going to get kicked out of this room at some point. Let's do a number two on this one.
On how to do the research. This is what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to dig into an email. So by then you'll have probably another 500. And then I'm going to come prepared next week with some good resources on how to do prescriptive research ahead of time. Chris is also going to add some color commentary and his advice as well. And I want to know from the folks here coming in on this call, we have regulars coming in every week, which is great. And we have new folks coming in. Mm-hmm. What in your opinion is the alternative approach to, I don't want to say going against the grain, but it's really like, this is the only thing that can come to mind with the quantity over quality versus quality over quantity, argument here with stakeholders. So,
Here's what I'll commit to. You and I can work on this offline.
Yes.
Here's what I commit to. If you make 100 calls a day, each one of those calls is, let's say, 2 minutes. It's going to prep you time, prep time and everything else. But you're doing an autodialer, it sure as hell isn't 2 minutes. It's 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to have this, hey, I've got to make 100 calls a day. Let's just say that's 3.5 hours. You still have a bunch of time to do other things. So how about we try to figure out the four things you could try to find out about a human, four or five things to find out about a human inside 2 minutes. Try and do that. What could you find out about Chris Roberts? And actually, there was a good comment like, hey, what if the person's post was 6 years ago? Well, fuck them. Move to the next one.
Yeah.
Or go hit him up on Twitter. Go hit him up on two other social media sites. If you can't find them, or Google their name and their email address, put it in quotes and see if they present it. And if you can't find them on the internet, move to the next fucking one. Because they're probably not active, which means you're not going to find much about, which means the chances of you hitting are about zero. Mm-hmm. Move to the next one. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we do that. Let's come up with four or five or six things that somebody on the sales side could do to hit not just me, but to hit somebody else on there. I like that one.
Writing it down.
And I get back from this neck of the woods, I think Friday night or something like that. So I'll have time definitely when I get back. And I'm eating. I apologize. I've not had food most of the day.
You don't apologize for food. Otherwise, this podcast would just be an email. A really good one, though. OSINT. We talked about OSINT, by the way. Maybe doing like a course on doing OSINT for... Didn't we do that? We talked about that a while ago.
We did. Maybe this is when we do it. Yeah, you're glorious to watch. Yeah, OSINT's fun. God help us. But I'm not going to make you do OSINT for half an hour because that won't work. If you're going to make 100 calls, let's narrow it down. Let's do it so that you can count, discount, yes, no. Then you can do it a minute, maybe 2 minutes worth of work. We'll give you the fucking links to do this stuff with.
Right. We have some work to do.
Yeah. I don't mind doing this. No. If it makes, it's a balance. I know it is. I've sat on that side. I've had to feed the company that I'm building by making outbound calls.
Right.
But we've done it differently and we've done it effectively. We doubled revenue every single year, 5 or 6 years straight. We did it differently. We didn't piss too many people off along the way.
All right. I'm going to sign off with saying, you always have time for research. It doesn't take a long time. It's not expensive. It takes practice. Get started.
And sometimes you got to do it in your own time.
Yep.
Get 100%. Your list for today, yesterday, do it overnight.
Yep.
All right. What do you need me to bring you back from Israel? Send me a message. Send me a text message. I'll bring you stuff back.
Can we bring spices into the country?
You can if they're vacuum packed with some kind of a seal on them. And, okay. And I won't say
I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out.
I bring spices back.
We'll figure it out. Gosh, I miss spices. All right, folks.
You're going to have to tell me where the hell to get them from. I don't know where the spice market is here, so you have to tell me where the hell to get them from.
Don't worry about it. Well, I'll, let me noodle on it. I'll think about it.
All right.
When are you flying back out, by the way?
Friday morning.
Okay, so there are a couple of days.
I'm going to go play with some Air Force boys, hopefully. What day are we on today? Wednesday.
Right. Well, yeah, Wednesday for both of us. Yes, Wednesday.
Yeah. So tomorrow I've got B-sides. I've got transportation, which is I still have to do my slides for. And hopefully I'm going to get to go play with some Air Force folks.
That's fun. Best Air Force in the world.
All right.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us today. This has been another episode of, we're not on Audience First. We're on WTF. I'm getting confused already. WTF, powered by Audience First. Thank you all for coming. Next week's going to be a great episode. We're going to come with a lot of resources. We have some homework to do. Mr. Roberts, enjoy your trip back. Enjoy tinkering with planes.
Yeah, and go hug an Israeli. It's kind of fun. Good. I enjoy
That's
it.
Fun.
We share alcohol.
Tell everybody I said hello.
I already have done, and I will continue to do so, definitely.
Great. All right.
All right. Another